Okay, for our message today, be brought to us by Mr. Steve Andrews. It is entitled, The Fear of the Lord.
Well, thank you, Sean. I've been thinking a great deal about young people, I think, more than in the society that we're living in. By the way, greetings. Greetings to those that might be tuning in. Greetings to everyone that's here today. And it's for us that have the hoary head, the older of us, it's gratifying to see some of our younger people here today. And it's wonderful that they're participating and coming to church. And some of them are even preaching. Curtis, I remember him as just a young boy. And I was like, I don't know if I should say this, but I don't know. For him to do what he does today, and when he was young, I just wouldn't have expected it. He's very good, and he has really changed. But what I really wanted to bring out was how knowledge is so quick in our young people. I remember Rosie when she was a baby. Of course, I've had so many. So I'm picking Rosie since she was the latest one that we've had a chance to work with. She was, you know, as a baby, they have needs. They cry. You feed them. They cry if they're, you know, wet or dirty. They cry if they need comfort. Sometimes they cry all night long because they don't want to go to sleep. And so, but what we know is that they rapidly change and rapidly grow in knowledge, and they understand things very, very rapidly. I remember there's Rosie especially had one particular way in which she would reach out to us, and that was before she started talking, and she would do this. That means to pick me up or to play with me or do that. And she would do that, and so she was learning very, very quickly certain things in her own mind as to how to grow in communication and knowledge of her surroundings and the things that she was doing and involved in. And so knowledge is so interesting and so profound as God begins to has put into all of us the ability to learn and to come to an understanding. We are pretty much selfish when we're young, aren't we? We have our own little world and we're our own little selfish world. But as we grow in maturity and go to school and different things, well, our world expands. So we grow in knowledge of the world. And eventually, no matter who they are, there will be, because God has put it inside of us, there will be a time in which they will ask, why am I here? And why was I born? They will ask that, even if they don't understand that there might be a God, because that's just something that's in us. We want to know, why in the world am I here? What is the purpose of being here? What's the purpose of life itself? I mean, most of us understand we grow from a young person and we go maturity, grow old, and we see older people around us, and we know that eventually there's something called death, and we all hate that. We all think that's a terrible thing. But in the end, we have to come to an understanding of what what our life is all about and why it is important to come to a better understanding of that. It's very interesting that God has published this book. It's a wonderfully powerful book with so much in it. And I could spend a long time, but my message today really focuses on a kind of a fatherly reach out, because Solomon was given a great deal of wisdom. That wisdom, maybe not all of it was published, but at least in the book of Proverbs, he published this wisdom that is so profound, and it's like a fatherly wisdom. And young people out there really need this grounding in the Proverbs. In a society that we live in today, in the things that are going on in the world that we live in today, it's very disconcerting. I'm an older person, you can tell that by the gray hair. But it's even disconcerting for me to realize that my children and grandchildren are going to have to cope with a world that is totally different than the world that I grew up in. They're going to have to cope with things that it's hard for me to even talk about, because when most of us understand there's only two sexes, but this world has gone crazy with this transgender thing. And so we have to step back and we say, where am I going to find information? Where am I going to find some grounding so I'm not swept up in this world, in the things of this world? Well, you find that in the Bible, of course, and throughout the Bible, and the things that we've been singing today, and Jesus, and the Passover that's coming. And I could have given the message in that particular area, but I wanted to, I've been thinking so much about what the Scripture says about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And it says in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So when we began to really search out the truth through the Bible, we realize that fear, both reverence and a fear, because God can completely wipe us out. We understand that. We can be someday in the judgment. If we don't change, we can be completely wiped out, and our memory and everything about us will no longer be available to anyone. We will just be, that will be it. So, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Well, we all have knowledge. We all have that. We understand that. So when we come to Solomon, God gave him wisdom. One of the things that he had was wisdom until his older age, and he decided to listen to his multiple wives. So I want to just read some things in that really focuses on this idea of the fear of the Lord. But there's also going to be some other things in Proverbs that we'll talk about, especially about wisdom. And let's start here in verse 1. This is the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, to give prudence to the simple and to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel to understand a proverb, an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. And then verse 7, again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. He talks like, okay, this is my son. This is someone I want to pass on some very wonderful wisdom to. I want him to understand some things about the world that he lives in. I want us to understand about the world that we live in through the eyes of Solomon. And he says, my son, hear the instruction of your father. So this is fatherly instruction for all of us. And of course, you know that God inspired him because he gave them this great wisdom. He inspired him to put these things down. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly in the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Boy, talk about wisdom right there. Young people, stay away from those who want to take you down this kind of way, this pathway that leads nothing but jail eventually or death as a young person. It's hard. It's hard for me to understand why they would want to do this, but it happens in this society, and you see it even in Tulsa. We're seeing a lot of young men and young women getting involved in crimes, horrible crimes. He says, keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Now, then he goes into wisdom and uses it as a personification of wisdom. Wisdom calls aloud. Outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates of the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make your words known to you, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. So when it comes to our own life, open your eyes, open your mind, open the knowledge that's already there. Some of it's all worldly, but open your eyes to the knowledge of God's word and his truth, so that it can change you. These things are they never get old. This is as new as the day we live in today. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind when distress and anguish come upon you. Young men who kill somebody are going to end up at 17, 18, 19 years old. They're going to end up in the rest of their life in jail. You do understand that. We still have laws, and no matter how young they are or what age they are, and they kill someone, they're going to end up in jail for the rest of their life. A young person who has his whole life ahead of them is going to end up in jail. Then they'll call on me, but I will not answer. So wisdom's out there. Please be wise. Understand these things. I'm calling you. All this time, I'm calling you. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They did not choose to reverence and fear the Lord God. and of course his son, Jesus Christ. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of the fools will destroy them. But whosoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without the face of evil. Now he goes on in a few more verses in chapter 2 here, and I want to read those here. My son, if you receive my words, I'm talking not just to sons. I want the daughters to understand how important Proverbs are for them also. You live in a society that is beginning to be more and more against women. I cannot understand the society that we live in. It was open the door. Women first. Be polite, kind, considerate. Today, you know, I don't know, it's so different. But I think especially young women who now have to face the specter in sports of having to go up against men and knowing that they might get knocked over, hurt, and things, maybe they're changing their mind and would like to change things in society. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. Now, there's a... In a life's endeavor, trying to come to a better understanding of what life is all about, especially through God's Word, is important. But you can also look through history. You can learn what's happened in the past historically to nations. Unfortunately, I think we're seeing the same thing happening to this nation. This happened to many nations, world powers, such as Rome, who finally morally went downhill and ended up dissolving and being taken over. Unfortunately, we may be seeing the same thing in our own country. I pray that we're not. I pray that we have more time, that this message can continue to go out, the Word of God can continue to change many, many lives. He says, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth came knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. It takes a little diligence, doesn't it? It takes a little prayer. It takes a little diligence to search out the world that we live in and the scriptures that talk about the evil versus good. In the third chapter, beginning in verse 7, we have just a few verses here. Do not be wise in your own eyes. There's a lot of that in the world we live in today. Politicians seem to have that, a problem with that. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. This one we read a lot during offerings. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the father, the son, whom he delights. Sometimes in our life, we face lots of trials, lots of tribulation, and lots of things that come into our life. And how we come out of that, how we grow and change, and how we understand that God is always with us, always there, always comforting us, taking care of us, and working with us, we are very thankful, and I better get my phone out. I think this one kind of, okay. Yeah. Anyway, whether you like it or not, I'm going to go on. I'll be free with sharing a little bit. This one stopped. Ah, thank you. Oh, all right. I have plenty of time. Another hour or so here to go. Yeah, it won't take that long. I don't have that much. But I wanted to impart some things before the Passover, before we come into that. That God, you need to understand about wisdom and God's wisdom and God, and learn the truths of God's Word. Now let's pick it back up here in chapter 8. Now, wait a minute, chapter 3, yeah. We're going to skip all the way over to 8 this time. All I did was go in there and I found it's very nice today. We've got all these helps, and you can just go in there and type the word fear. And then you go down through there and you find the fear of the Lord and put all those together, and you have learned a lesson. You have learned a scriptural lesson by doing that. So 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Now that's God talking. That's not Solomon, that's God. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. When we align ourselves with God's truth, we align ourselves with God's wisdom, we understand the world better. I mean, we understand things in the world better and what's going on in the world. In chapter 9, just one over, in verse 10, he says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." It's interesting in the King James, it's a little bit different. And I think this new King James is maybe more correct in what it says here. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To come to reverence the Lord, to come to understand Him, but also to fear because of the judgment, the time that might come. Chapter 10, right there, very close. Beginning of verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. And now, and some may say, okay, well, but don't some people that fear the Lord die early? Yeah, but think about what the Scripture says. What is our future? If you believe, if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, He says, you have eternal life. So, you have prolonged your days for all eternity. Not just the short physical life that we have today. You've prolonged your days for all eternity. But the years of the wicked be shortened. When they come up for judgment, if they don't accept this way, this truth, they will have no future. They will die in Gehenna fire. That's what the Scripture says. After the judgment, they will die in Gehenna fire. So, the fear of the Lord prolongs the days. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but the destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. And that's how we take these. We take them on out. We begin to put Scriptures together. That's how you do it. You see something, I go and I look different scriptures and see what Jesus said and see what the Paul says, so I can put these all together and I can come with a better understanding of what the scripture is talking about. Line upon line, here a little, there a little. That's how we do it. That's how we look at it. Okay, and we're in now chapter 14. In chapter 14, get over there. And we'll pick it up in verse 26. Chapter 14 and verse 26. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn away one from the snares of death. In the multitude of people is a king honor, but the lack of people is the downfall of the prince. Now let's focus on these two verses here. The fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. Yeah. If you take that on out to the kingdom of God, we have an eternal refuge. We have a place in that wonderful home that will come down from heaven that we will dwell in for eternity. And we will be a part of it. We will walk those golden streets, and we will see all of those beautiful things that God has set for us. And it will be wonderful. And we'll have strong confidence. And I think by knowing what the Scripture says, we gain confidence. We gain confidence in our life. We grow in confidence because of what it says. And believe what God says. And believe the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the hope of eternal life. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. Eventually, that will happen. In chapter 19, yeah, I can get over there. Ah, here we go. If you want to be really rewarded, read all of the Proverbs. I think there's just, there's 31. So you could actually read a proverb a day. You could read a chapter in the Proverbs a day and gain a tremendous amount of wisdom from them. In fact, 19 and verse 23. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. Take that all the way out to the kingdom of God. We will not be affected by the second death. We will not be affected by any evil. We will be spirit beings and for all eternity, and so we are comforted in that understanding, and to have that reverence and fear for the Lord and for his son and for what they're doing is so profound. Chapter 23, and this is the last one in this series. And verse 17, do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Hey, we're preaching the gospel today, the kingdom of God, the return of Jesus Christ to this earth, the hope that we have someday in that kingdom. One last one. Think about Ecclesiastes and how it seems so vanity of vanities, futility of futilities. All is vanity. And so he writes this and it seems so hopeless until Solomon gets to the end. And in the end of chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, he says, fear God, and keep his commandments. So, we keep the commandments, and we also add to that the commandments of his holy days, the Sabbath and the holy days. Why do we do that? Because it explains the plan of God. It is wisdom to keep the holy days of God. It really is. Those holy days help us to understand why we are going to make it into the kingdom of God, why he has set this aside. You know, sometimes we see a society all mixed up, chaos, everything going on. We have borders that are in chaos. We have this and we have that, and we have the people that we love that die, and we say, oh, it's so terrible. And then yet, when we keep the holy days, we realize that God has a plan of salvation, not just for you and I, but for all of humanity. One day, we'll be resurrected into the kingdom. We hope that resurrection is with Jesus Christ when he returns. Well, the other resurrection that's going to come with all those who have not heard that second time, or that time that they're going to be resurrected and hear the gospel message. And if they heed, they will have eternal life. It is the plan of God. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment. The great white throne judgment. You see that in the book of Revelation. So you can tie in the words of in the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes. All of it ties in together. God has set such a marvelous book with wisdom and truth. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it's good or evil. You remember David. Everything that he did was published for everybody to see. His sins, his problems, his trials, his tribulations. And yet God said he loved David. And he was a man after his own heart. Because David loved and worshiped God, even though he was a man with many, many problems and many trials and things that had... many times he was almost killed by his enemies. And so God shows that he loves us, that he has a great plan for us. And the day will come, if we continue in our own lives to fear the Lord and to look forward to his kingdom and to look forward to the holy days that are coming up, because we will learn a lot more about what God has planned for us as we go through those days.